Amen. That's my favorite psalm. I love that psalm. It's such a comforting psalm. We can certainly rest in this promise that God has given us. Many promises here, but it all does come down to abiding in that secret place and knowing our God. It's not so that I have it good or anything, but it is for His glory. I was just thinking of that, not be afraid of the terror by night, nor, verse 6, the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Like, we don't like darkness. Like, we don't like not knowing what's going on. We don't like what, if we're not sure, what might happen. But God is promising here, if we dwell in Him, in that secret place, then and abide under that shadow, and call Him our rock, our fortress, our refuge, surely He shall deliver me. And that may look different than what we think. I don't know always what that all means, but praise God. We're going to be delivered one day. We're going to be delivered one day. Just appreciate the worship here this morning. Just the heart to worship God. Is there anything else that should be more important in our lives than to just worship God? I'm just so excited that God loves us with an everlasting love, and He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. This morning, as I was praying and worshiping the Lord, I want to do something here before I start here. It's kind of out of my comfort zone, but maybe all of us. But those of us who can, I guess just a couple weeks ago we shared here at the dedication, and I was reading there in Solomon how his prostate, or his the way he was worshiping God there at the temple, just kind of stuck out to me. And so this morning, I just want us all, those of us who can, to do that. Just kneel down and lift your hands to heaven. And we're going to sing, "I Love You, Lord." And we'll just worship Him here for a minute or two and just recognize that, you know, He is the one that we're worshiping here this morning. It is not something that we did, but it is completely because of what He did. So just kneel down and lift your hands to Jesus. And just sing with me. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what You hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in Your ear. Let's sing it again. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what You hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in Your ear. Father, we thank You this morning that we can worship You, Jesus, in the spirit and in truth, Father, this morning. That is the only worship that receives, that You receive truly, as we worship You in the spirit and in truth, Father. So God, we just want to thank you for the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us and washed us and made you your sons and daughters. So God, we just commit this morning to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you love God? Do you tell him you love God? Do you tell him that you love him? Do you speak to him in that way? I know this was some time ago. I was just inspired by the thought, or just blessed that, you know, we can tell God we love him. We love you. We adore you. You are such an awesome God. I just love the way you've worked in this situation. I appreciate how you've been looking out for me. And just tell him how much you love him. It honors him. It blesses him. It brings glory to him. We want to look a little bit at that this morning, just how that maybe was played out in a real way. The title is Repent and Believe. This morning, I want to read out of Mark 1. Mark 1, verses 1 through 15. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and a girdle of his skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preaching, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, latchets of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." You know, I love the thought of John the Baptist here in the wilderness. This is where he grew up. And all of a sudden, one day, he begins preaching a new gospel. Something new, something different that was never preached before. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were baptized into him. And I'm just like, what made these people want to go to John the Baptist? This was completely new. There was never baptism in the Old Testament. I don't think you can read that anybody in the Old Testament would have done like baptisms. They didn't have baptisms in the Old Testament. Neither was there remission of sins in the Old Testament. And I'm just amazed that here John is preaching something completely new. But there's a reason. He's preparing the way for Jesus. He's preparing the way for what Jesus is bringing. And he's out in the wilderness preaching this gospel. And all these people are flocking to him. And I'm just amazed that the people accepted this and didn't just stone him or something. Like, here he is preaching something that is kind of it says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like, this is the beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist, dressed kind of like Elijah probably, is doing this. And I'm just like, he's saying, repent and believe. Repent, how does it say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Like this is now at hand. There's a new kingdom, or there's a new covenant. This is the beginning of the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel, Jesus said. But John the Baptist was preparing the way, and John, his mission was to prepare the people for Christ. And he baptized in the wilderness. I don't know why he would have been in the wilderness or what caused him to do this in the wilderness, but the people went to him. Somehow maybe he lit a fire and people came to see what's going on. I don't know. But I know that's how God got Moses' attention. But somehow the people knew where he was and he began to preach. And the people listened. And I think it's in the Gospel of John, it gives a little bit more of his sermon, just how different ones were like, well, what should I do here? What should I do? And he told them. But what he was trying to get across is that Jesus Christ is coming and he's going to bring remission of sins. Prepare ye the way. And there comes one after me that is mightier than I. And you know, I don't know what Jesus' temptations were on the wilderness. It says he was tempted there. But one thing I thought of was Jesus was in the wilderness, and maybe he didn't know how long, but in some ways I feel like verse 14 says it's after John was done, then Jesus came forth. And maybe Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted to just go out and proclaim the gospel or help John or whatever, but it looks to me like John had to first come and prepare the way and finish what he was here for before Jesus actually came on the scene. I think at least two of the gospels would say after John was in prison, Jesus came forth. But when he was tempted and John was in prison, it says now Jesus came. And his message was, verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, repent ye and believe. Repent is to think differently, to change one's mind. Repentance involves a turning with contrition from sin to God. The repentant sinner is in the proper condition to accept the divine forgiveness. When we repent with contrition and we turn from our sins to God, now we are in proper condition to accept the goodness, the forgiveness of God. And John says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And remission is simply removing our sins from us to like it had never been. Like that was not available in the Old Testament. You could not have a remission of your sins in the Old Testament. You sacrificed and that covered you for a while. And then you had to sacrifice again. And then this thought kept coming up. And then you'd sin again and you'd another sacrifice. But here Jesus is saying he's bringing a remission of sins. But we must turn from our sin. The same message Jesus preached is still what we preach today. Repent. Turn from your self-centered lifestyle. Live and turn to follow Jesus. That is what Jesus is asking us. That is what it means to repent. We repent from our sin. We repent from ourselves. We turn with contrition from sin to God. Matthew 26, verse 28. It really kind of brings it, maybe 27, 28. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And as we turn from ourselves and our sin, and we turn to God, and we put our faith and our trust in the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world, his blood cleanses us. It washes us. we get born again, and he takes them away as if they never were. Is that true? Do we believe that? And it should stir in us a desire to worship God. And I guess this morning also my desire would be that we could see the fullness of salvation, maybe. Like, I know there's a lot of people who would struggle with assurance of salvation. And I'm just like, this is it right here. Jesus Christ came. He is the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world. And that's you and I. He takes those away. And he not just takes them away, but he doesn't remember them anymore. And he makes it as though they never were. We do need to know, if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ for our sins and for our salvation, this is who we are in Christ. Somehow we need to believe that and know that's the truth. But Jesus establishes that this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Thank you, Lord. Does that cause us to worship him? Do we worship him because of that? Does that cause a worship out of our hearts because of what he did for us? Remission is forgiveness of sins, letting them go as if they were never committed. That just doesn't register in our carnal minds. We can't imagine that in our minds. It must be, but we must believe it by faith. It's not just like, I believe that, or I think I can almost understand. We can't understand that. It's not to be understood. It's to be thought, it's to be believed on. We believe in the gospel, and we, by faith, we accept that as our salvation. Letting them go as if they were never committed, it's a release from imprisonment and bondage. We all know what it's like to be in bondage. We're bondage to ourselves. We're in bondage to habits and things that dictate our lives. But he brings remission. It's a forgiveness. It's a letting go. The gates of hell shall not, will not, cannot prevail against this. We are God's children. For John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. They didn't take his life. They didn't need a spear to kill him or break his legs so he would die. He gave his life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He did that so we don't have to perish. There's a reason. There's, without Christ, we're condemned. Without Christ, we're condemned. We're born a sinner. We're born with that nature to sin. We're born with a sinful nature. But God came, Jesus came, and he gave his life so that we didn't need to perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn us, but that we through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do we believe on the only begotten Son of God as our salvation this morning? And if you don't, we want to give an opportunity this morning to give your life to Christ. Because that is where it begins. Somewhere in our lives, we meet God. And we recognize ourselves as sinners, and we come before him. And he forgives us and makes us his child. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That is why Jesus came. Now let's move to Acts 2. This was just kind of inspiring to me as I thought of, very quickly here through the gospel, just why Christ came. But I'm going to read from verse 14 all the way to 42. Acts 2, verse 14 to 42. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rejoice in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his thrones, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. But I'm just excited because right here, Jesus said in the Gospels, I must leave. It's expedient that I leave, so that the Holy Spirit can come. So he leaves, and the Holy Spirit comes, and now he has these men on fire as well. And I'm just, imagine Jesus Christ, he had given his life for us. He gave his life, and he victoriously, he rose from the grave. He's risen again, and he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And after that, he pours out the Holy Spirit, and I can just imagine how excited he must have been when he saw this going on. Can you imagine? This is the purpose, the joy that was before him. This is why he did it. He was able to go on because he's seen this in the future. He saw this is going to happen. But I just imagine as Christ was experiencing this in heaven. He's sitting there at the right hand of God, and he sees his disciples who he left there to carry his work on, and they're actually doing it. And as Stephen is there ministering a couple chapters later, he's being stoned, and there you see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And I'm just like, is Jesus excited about what is going on in our lives today? Does that cause him to actually stand? Does what our lives demonstrate that we're living for him and him alone? And as Jesus is being stoned to death for his faith, do we live our faith in a way that it would cause us to be stoned or cause us to be people would want to offend us or whatever it might be, come against us? And does Jesus actually get so excited about our lives that he's standing? But it does say he's interceding for us. He's interceding for each one of us here this morning. How can that be? Thank you, Lord. He's interceding for us this morning. If we recognize in a greater way, and I guess that was just my prayer, God, somehow let us to know how and what it looks like to walk in the Holy Ghost, to walk full of the Spirit of God. I don't know exactly how that looks, but we do see some of it right here. It's played out in the apostles' lives. What does that look like in our lives today? I desire to see more of that. Romans 10, 1 to 13, I'm going to read there. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Is that our burden? Do we have a burden that God's people, he is praying that God's people would be saved? Well, why wouldn't they be? They're God's people. But yet they were going about, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That should give us all hope. Hallelujah. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. There is no more law. Like, I cannot fulfill any part of a law to somehow become righteousness. Christ is that for us. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The apostles believed, and that's what drove them. They believed the gospel. They believed it. They walked what they believed. That's a challenge for me this morning. Do we live what we believe? I think we do. We live what we believe. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wow. He made him sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's a powerful, powerful truth. And I'm just so grateful this morning that we are Christ, and that through that, God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven me this morning. Colossians 2, verse 13 to 15. I'm going to wrap it up here just soon. I want to give opportunity to for salvation this morning. And even just repenting from sin. If there's something in your life you need to change. Colossians 2, 13 and 14 and 15. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was set against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. God nailed those ordinances that were against us. He took them out of the way, and he nailed them to his cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One more portion of scripture here in Hebrews 5. Verses 7 to 9. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Are we obeying him? Do we obey him? Or what are we obeying if we're doing something? What are we obeying? What is the thing that we're obeying? But even Jesus here, it says, he had strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him. You know, I believe Jesus had a battle. I don't believe it was just all easy to come here and die for our sins. Like, I don't think every day was just easy. It looks to me like there was a groaning. There was a crying out for God's mercy. There was a crying out, God, don't let me do this. God, don't let me take my own way. You know, I don't want to go through this, but it's your will, not mine. And there was a strong battle, and there was a strong crying and tears. And I believe, I guess my challenge to us today is, you know, he's the author of salvation unto those that obey him. What are we obeying? When there's a commandment given from God, when God speaks to us and he gives direction for something, it's not always easy. Like, there's times when you have to cry out to God for the next step, to walk it out, to give, that we don't just give way. Well, I don't know. Nobody else is doing this. Why would I, though? Maybe I heard wrong. I think we have to walk through it and be faithful. So I would love to just have some time here this morning. If there's somebody here that wants to give their life to Jesus Christ for the first time, we want to open the altar for that. We want to have that opportunity. Jesus said we're to fill the earth, and I think when we replenish the earth, isn't that of its own kind? Each seed brings forth fruit of his own kind. I think God just wants to somehow raise up more children in this day. So I just want to give that opportunity. If anybody's here this morning that desires to be born again, saved, give their life to Jesus Christ for the first time, I want to welcome you up here. And if there's anybody that needs to repent and believe the gospel, if there's something in our lives, if there's something that isn't right with God this morning, let's repent and believe the gospel. So I just want to open the altar here this morning and invite us to a time of just searching our hearts and repenting before God. There's a couple of things. Your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I believe one who learns to worship God in secret will worship God openly. I'm not saying always lifting up his hands. But there's a worship coming out of him no matter what happens. I want to close here. Revelations 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Are you part of that? And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, one day our name was written in the Lamb's book of life as we accept Christ. And according to Revelations, it can be blotted out. Revelations 2 there, it talks about he who overcomes, will I not blot his name out? But you know, I don't know that we have to focus on that. But let's know that if you're born again, if you've given your life to Christ and you've accepted the blood of Jesus as your Savior, then be confident. It doesn't have to be understood with your head knowledge. It is a faith walk. And we can believe that and stand on that. Amen.